Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in church tonight?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, I hope you are, because if you're not, you have one of two choices. Either don't come or get excited. Amen. Praise God. Because there's only one. You don't want to go and not be excited. Praise the Lord, because you won't receive anything, and you want to receive all that God has from you. And maybe this isn't your normal church service. Maybe this isn't normally where you go to church. But just be excited for what God's doing anyways, because you're here.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You might as well get what you come to get. Amen. And if you didn't come to get anything, well, then somebody got to check your head, because God has made church for a place for us to come get something. Now, of course, we bring something too, but we need to receive what God has for us too. Amen. Because they're good things. Amen. Well, aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. God's doing great things here in Corey. Amen. More and more every day, God is just revealing more of his plan for this place to me. And I'm just so thankful for it. Amen. I'm so thankful for what God has for us. Praise the Lord. I know that he's got great and wonderful things for this area. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to build a work. But, you know, the thing is we have to realize that the building process is what the process is. Amen. And so God's already established the work. He's already decided that this is what he's wanted. And so we have to be those who come into the town and possess it. Amen. We have to be those who come into the house of God and possess what he has for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we do that every service, every time we come together, we come into the town, you know, we make it a point to be, Lord, this work is of you. This is your work. And Father, we thank you for all that you're establishing here. And I'm just so excited for what God has for us tonight. Amen. You know, as I was, tonight's message is called Godly Contentment. Praise God. And how many know that it's good to be content in the things that God has for us? But, you know, I think a lot of times that people get that out of order. They get the kind of a misunderstanding of what godly contentment truly is. You know, they read different scriptures, and we're going to read some of them tonight. And they kind of take them in the wrong context and get a misunderstanding of what God's talking about. You know, contentment doesn't mean that you're okay with lack. Praise the Lord. Contentment doesn't mean you're okay with going without, that you just settle in your hearts. Well, this is my lot in life, and so this is the way that it is, and so I'm just going to live this way. That's not what contentment is. Praise God. Hallelujah. A true godly contentment can only come from knowing who God is. True godly contentment can only come from knowing your connection to who that God is. Amen. And you have to know who he is. And then once you know who he is, then you can start to understand your connection with him. And when you understand your connection with him, then you can start getting into the things that he has for you. Amen. And then you can find that godly contentment. Praise the Lord. I would say this, that godly contentment is really not much more than just God's peace. Amen. Is there anybody that wants God's peace in their life?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, you're going to find that in being content in the things of God. And I know what you're asking yourself. You're sitting there saying, well, Pastor Jeff, where'd you come up with this message? Amen. And this message was birthed out of my lack of contentment. Believe it or not. Amen. I was just going through a normal day like anybody else does. I was having my normal time. It was just one of those days where I was not necessarily content with my lot for that day. Amen. My lot in life in that day. And, you know, I was just going through it, and I was like, man, I really need a place to go study. I need a place of peace where I can go to. I need this. I need that. I need what I don't have.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord started dealing with me on this and how I was wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful for the Lord showing me how I'm wrong. Amen. Because when you're wrong, you can correct it. Amen. And then after I got corrected on it, he turned around and blessed me with a whole bunch of things that I didn't know. Amen. And aren't you glad by that? But I certainly was. Praise the Lord. But, you know, so often we can look at what we don't have or what it seems like we don't have in life, and that can distract us. Amen. It can distract us from what the truth is. Now, I love that song that we just sang. You know, I believe that was on my son's heart to write that song. But it's just based in scripture is all it is. And I love the scripture. It says, the Lord is my portion. Amen. That's where the scripture, the song comes from. He literally says, the Lord is my portion. Now, how many know that's a pretty awesome thing. When God is your portion, that means that you have everything that you ever need. And that's where true contentment can come from. Because if you don't have, if you don't realize that he's your portion, you're not going to be content. Amen. And so you understand that, you know, and we're going to see this here tonight, that the Apostle Paul learned how to be content. You know, he went through a lot of things. But again, contentment doesn't mean that we just go without or spend a lifetime going without. Amen. We're going to start in 1 Timothy 6:6. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You excited for the word tonight? Yes. Praise God. 1 Timothy 6:6. It says here, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Yeah. Praise God. So we see here, there's two things that said that Paul told Timothy, they're a great gain. Godliness with contentment. You know, godliness is good, but you can be godly and not content. Praise the Lord. You can be content and not be godly. I mean, it can happen. We have seen people like that. Praise the Lord. But God has called us to be godly and content. Now, what does godliness mean? It means to be like God, right? Godliness, be like God, praise the Lord. Or in other words, to be in the plan of God, or to be after God, to be seeking God, praise the Lord, all these things, to be living right, to be living holy, praise the Lord, glory to God. You know, the Bible says that without holiness, none will see God. You know, we don't want to, as Christians, we don't want to be convinced of something that's not the truth. And one of the things that a lot of Christians get convinced of is they can live any way they want. And they don't realize that they're towing that line to hell. I'm just telling you the truth. You could be eternally damned because of what you choose not to do. Well, praise the Lord. That's not a real popular message, but it's the truth. But the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I love that it says it's great gain. It just didn't say it was gain, but it said it was great gain. It magnified the gain. How many know that? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, what do you gain by being godly with contentment? Well, I'll tell you this. Everything that God has for you. You say, well, what does God have for me? Well, he's got a lot for you, and that's up to you to find out. Amen? Now, the Bible gives us some promises. Praise the Lord. But he also says that God is a revealer of things to us. Amen? The Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, is a revealer of these divine promises and these great things, even things that we can't see. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we see here that's what God has intended us to walk in. He wants us to be godly and content. And when we're content as we're being godly, praise the Lord, we see great gain. Glory to God. I wrote this down as I was preparing the message. It came to me. All the riches of the world will not bring peace. But it's not just riches. Praise the Lord. All the riches of the world won't bring peace. But, you know, you won't be peace without riches either. You can't think, you know, some people think that it's humble to be poor, but that's not truth either. Amen. And so we can be in a ditch on either side of the coin. You see, it's not just riches in general in the sense of money. Praise the Lord. But it's anything that increases you. Anything you could say is great gain, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm reminded of a scripture. You know, have you ever heard the scripture, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? Praise the Lord. And so your heart will be wherever, in whatever you treasure. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you treasure a spouse, then that's where your heart is going to be. Amen. And you can treasure a spouse. It's good that you do. But that's not where all your treasure should be. Amen. But what we understand by this is that if somebody is treasuring just the things of the world or just life in general, that they can get quickly out of contentment. They can get to that place where they're always seeking something instead of seeking God. This is so important to us to understand. We have to understand the most important thing for us to seek is God. If we're seeking other things and we're not seeking God, and we're already off. And this is why so many people don't see the gain in their life, because they're seeking this, they're seeking that. Well, you know what? I want my, I want my children to serve God. So I'm seeking this, seeking that, seeking this. That's what they're seeking. They're not seeking God. Listen, like there's things you can want in life, and that's great, but you need to seek God first. God first. Praise the Lord. He will add to you. He will add all those things to you. He will add the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. But it all comes first in seeking God. This is where so many people miss it. You know, they get something in their head, some screwball idea. Well, I got to do this, this, or this. It takes them away from God's blessing, where God has them. And as a result, they don't walk in the plan of God. God has great things for us. We need to understand that. But we don't get those great things by seeking those great things. We get the great things by seeking our great God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he should become the affection and desire of our heart. We shouldn't be seeking him to gain great things, because that's another ditch. Amen. That's another side that we don't want to get off into. Some people do that. They're like, well, if I seek God, I see these scriptures like Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. So what do? They go, well, I'm going to start giving. And what's their purpose for giving? Their purpose for giving is to gain. And once the purpose to give becomes the gain, then you lose the gain, because that's not the way God operates. Amen. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise the Lord. Seeking after God, seeking God's plan, desiring what he has. That's what great gain is. In fact, what it means is you put the great gain out of your mind and just keep God there. You put God at the forefront of your mind and he adds all these things to you. Again, when I'm talking about great gain, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about all things in life that we could seek after, whatever we treasure. Praise the Lord. We put whatever we treasure on the altar of God and say, Lord, whatever your plan is, whatever your will is, that's what I want. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So whatever you're seeking in life, whatever matters to you, whatever is the big thing to you right now, whatever the thing is, you keep going back to God for. Amen. I said, whatever that thing is, you keep going back to God for. What are you praying about day in, day out? You know what I'm talking about. There's something in your heart that you've been seeking God. Oh, Lord, I just need this. I just want this. This means everything to me. Praise the Lord. That's the first thing you need to sacrifice on the altar. Wow. That's the thing you need to lay up there and say, you know what? I want you, God. I don't care about this. Wow. Yeah. Well, you say, well, my flesh still cares about it. I just said that, but my flesh, of course your flesh is going to want that. Yeah. Your flesh is going to want what your flesh wants. That's fine. Let your flesh want it. You put your heart towards God. How do you put your heart towards God? You don't let your heart, you don't have that thing that's got your flesh get your heart. I said, you don't allow that thing that's got your flesh to get your heart. How do you do that? You put it on, you sacrifice it on the altar of God. Say, Lord, I don't need this. I want you. I give it all up. Praise the Lord. How do you do that? You keep doing it. As many times as it come up, that's fine. Your flesh could want it. Your flesh could desire it. It could even be a good thing. Listen, we don't have to just because, we, you know, Abraham, praise the Lord, when he was told to sacrifice Isaac, the one that he was believing for 20 some years, right? All his life, he was an old man, finally gets what he wanted from God. And what do? He put it on the altar of God. Praise the Lord. Put him on the altar of God. And he didn't have to sacrifice it. See, this is the thing. God wants our hearts. That's what he cares about. Praise the Lord. Your contentment or your lack thereof shows where your heart is. I said your contentment or your lack thereof shows where your heart is towards God. Praise the Lord. See, if you have a heart towards God, you'll be content with whatever, because you know a few things. Number one, you know that he's your portion. If you know God's your portion, then there's nothing else you need. That's right. Praise the Lord. I have no needs. Yeah. Why? Because I have my God. I said, I have no needs. I don't have any need. I have no need of food because I have a God who created it all. Right. Praise the Lord. I serve a God. See, this is the thing we really have to get. And this is where contentment is found. Contentment is that place where you can be in joy even though you don't see the things your body necessarily wants or your flesh desires. But you can be in joy because you know that the fullness of everything that you desire is found in God, and it's not going to distract you. See, all that desire is for, like, it's good to desire. I desire my wife. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing for me to desire my wife. Praise God. But I love God more. I desire God more. And that's why I can have my wife. Praise the Lord. That's why I have a good wife, because I desire God more. Amen. Because we serve God, and we both live this way. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We're serving God together. Praise the Lord. We're going in the same direction. We just want more of him. And God blesses us. He blesses us with happiness. He blesses us with all these things. Amen. Why? Because this is what God does. Amen. This is how God is. Praise the Lord. But we have to understand that and this is the difference, or should be the difference, between Christians and the rest of the world, but often case it is not the difference, is that we have to understand that the pursuit of life does not afford us contentment. The pursuit of life does not afford us happiness. It doesn't, the pursuit of life, you know what I'm saying? We just live in life, going through life. Well, I see so many people are just living life, right? They're struggling paycheck to paycheck. What are they doing? They're in pursuit of life. If you struggle from paycheck to paycheck, your pursuit is life. It's not God. See, God will take you, God will rise us above that place of being constantly pursuing things. Because in God are all those things. Praise the Lord. We said that we know that the fullness of God is found in Jesus, and we have the fullness of Jesus on the inside of us. We do not need to be pursuing things. You know, I talk about this often. We have faith confessions, and I'm not against faith confessions. Faith confessions are good things. It's not wrong to ask God for something. But what's wrong is when we really get beyond faith confessions, we get into this place where we're just constantly seeking the thing. We're constantly seeking the stuff. And what happens with that is we move ourselves out of that place of contentment. There's nothing wrong with it. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with asking God for something you need. The Bible tells us to do that. But it says don't dwell on it. It says not to sit there and be, you know, if we're bringing it up time and time again, it means you believe, you don't believe that you have it. And if you don't believe that you already have it, then you're already out of faith. And if you're out of faith, you're already out of the place where you can receive it. So what you're doing is in your freak out, going to God, oh Lord, I'm pleading with God, interceding on your own behalf. Right. Praise the Lord. You know, intercession is not for you, it's for someone else or something else. Yeah. You know, most Christians are interceding for themselves. Yeah. Get down on their, oh God, oh God, oh God. They're interceding for you. You don't need to intercede for yourself if you have a relationship with God. And if you're at the place where you need to intercede for yourself, you're probably out of the place of having a relationship with God. And then you need someone else to be interceding for you. Somebody who's in that place. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know where I got all this. I guess the Holy Spirit wants something to say. Praise the Lord. But, I didn't plan any of this. Glory to God. I never even thought about this stuff before, to tell you the truth. It's all coming to me as I'm giving it to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't need to intercede for yourself. And if that's the... But see, that's what most people's prayers are. A worried mother, right? Gets down on her knees praying for her kids. Oh, my kids, my kids, my kids, my kids. Yeah. Right? Praise the Lord. Well, why do I say worried mother? Because mothers always worry about their kids, right? So they're like their job, right? We all know it. Come on, it's the truth. We understand, you know, your kid does one little thing bad, and all of a sudden you think the rest of the world is going to fall apart. Or their whole life and everything that you taught them, but that's not the case. But, you know, we get down on our knees and they're a worried mother. They're sitting there, you know, pleading and praying and just crying. Listen, you're interceding for yourself. Yeah. You're not helping those kids. What those kids need is your faith. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I say what your kids need is your faith. Yeah. Listen, your bills, they don't need you to get down on your knees and cry about it. No. They don't need that. It's not going to help them. Listen, there will still be people hear this message and go right back to doing that same thing. You're getting on your knees and pleading with God and worrying about your bills ain't getting them paid any faster. In fact, it will push it back further. That's the trick. That's the deception that the enemy puts out there. But for some reason, we believe him over we believe the word of God. Yeah. Why? Because we haven't sold out to this yet. We haven't realized that God's our portion. If God's your portion, you are in no lack. I said, I don't have to, look, how can this be? I have no money in my bank account. I have no money in my wallet. I have no gas in my car, but yet I'm fully supplied. How could those things be? I'm not saying that's my case right now, but I'm just saying that, you know, how could these things be like this? Because God is your supply. We have to get it in us. We have to get in us that he's our portion. Amen. All the riches in the world won't change it. How do we know this? Because you look at people that get rich. Look at people that get everything. When I say rich, again, I am not focusing on money. I am talking about everything that we would consider rich. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I look at my family. I feel like I look at my kids, my wife. And man, I feel like a rich man. Why? Because I just have the fullness. I couldn't imagine having any more. Amen. I'm fully rich. See, I'm talking about being rich, but not enriched the way that we always think about it. Amen. But it includes all areas. Praise the Lord. But, you know, there's people that gain all the things that they wanted. Man, that's, you know, I was a real good singer and I went out there on American Idol and I was just hoping, man, I just need this break. I just need this opportunity. And then they get the break, they get the opportunity, and they still live like morons. Yeah. Their life didn't change. In fact, a lot of them, if you look at them, do you ever look at the news or you see some kind of article about somebody famous and you think, what on earth do these people really think? You know, there was one recently that was, that was crying about President Trump. There was one famous person, I ain't going to say their name, but they were recently crying about President Trump, you know, and then there's, you know, there's the shooting, one of the shootings that happened. They started crying about that and started talking about, and they started making it. I love what this one news article said, because the people started calling them out for making it all about themselves. You're like, wait, do you live in this world? I mean, we all live in the same world. It's not all about you just because you're famous, you know? Just because you have feelings, they think, well, they got a voice to say it. Well, listen, because you acted in a few 80s TV shows or something like that doesn't make you suddenly a voice of reason to the rest of us. By God, here's a little piece of advice. You want some advice? You want some help? Yes. Praise God. If somebody famous says it, you can pretty much bank on just the opposite is true. Yeah, because if somebody in Hollywood is all about it, just look at their life. And you get, the Bible says, look at the fruit. You just look at their, everything they say is still like this. That's why I don't let Hollywood change my, you know, I say Hollywood is a, you know, metaphor, general thing, you know, or whatever. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Ain't that was down on Hollywood, but we have to understand that people get everything they want. They have the ability, you know, I just got a kick out of this, you know, the global warming. I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of the environment. I think that's great. We should. Amen. Praise the Lord. But all these people, all these famous people, they're shouting about the global warming stuff, right? And they're having some Google summit somewhere over on the other side of the world. And they all, every single one of them, there was like 150 some famous people who all flew their private jets. Praise the Lord, over there to this global warming. You know, we got to reduce our usage and our carbon footprint. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Like, just because you get stuff doesn't all of a sudden make you something. Amen? And that's what it is. You see, people that get there, some people have the breakthrough. I remember, you know, I used to be an artist. Oh, I am an artist. You like to draw pictures and stuff like that. And used to like to, you always want to think about, like, the idea of maybe making a book someday or something like that and getting real popular and famous. And then you could have, well, listen, I'm popular and famous now. I didn't need all that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's a joke, of course, but it didn't gain me anything. You know, that wouldn't have gained me anything. It may give you more ability to sin or something like that, but that doesn't necessarily make it good. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We only got through one scripture so far, but the point is we're not trying to get famous. We're trying to get content. Amen? The pursuit of life does not afford contentment. Praise the Lord. But contentment is also not being complacent either. And on the other side, it's not just sitting around saying, you know what? Whatever, you know, the way it is, the way it is. The way it is always, no, that's not it. We have to desire. The Bible distinctly, specifically tells us to desire greater things. There's many scriptures that lead us to that, that God wants to bless us with greater things. We have to have bigger vision. All those things are great, but that can't be the purpose of our lives. The purpose of our lives have to be about God. And when we've done that, we get to the place where we're content, where we're truly content. In contentment is where we have peace. It's where we have happiness. It's where we have joy. Amen? The reason so many people don't walk in walk in contentment is because they don't walk or don't walk in joy is because they're not content. Listen, if you walk around, if you're Christians, walk around with a sad countenance and you're upset and everything is wrong always. It's not God's fault. It's because your contentment, your heart is your treasure is in the wrong areas. And so your heart is in the wrong area. Get it back on God, and the contentment will be there, and the joy will be there. But see, you have to have these things in place. Amen? This is helping us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it helped me as I was getting into it because I was, you know, there's with everything. I'm a visionary. I can see things. I can see bigger things. I can see more things. I can see, you know, some people look and see 10 people saved. I can see a million people saved. Glory to God. And sometimes we get out of contentment because we're like so focused on what, you know, even God will give us a little glimpse of the future and we'll get so far out, you know. Praise God. There's one thing that God has walked us through, and I'm so glad he has, but God has walked us through the building process. We don't get everything up front. We've raised our kids in such a way to know the building process. What do I mean by that? Yeah, we spoiled our kids. We've done a lot of good things for them. But my kids know the value of hard labor. Hard work, you know what I mean? I don't mean like hard labor, like we didn't put them to a camp or something like that. But, you know, hard work. They understand that if they want to eat, they got to work. They understand that God isn't just going to, you know, God will open the doors to you as you're faithful, but God isn't going to just change your situation. I actually pity. I know some people who were born into wealth, and they are people that never can fully, it seemed like they have such a hard time getting fully in the plan of God. And the reason is because if they, you know, they get so tripped up over money. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But a person, if you think right, if you learn how to think right and you get content, it's amazing what God will do in us. Amen. What he'll do for us. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. Glory to God. Turn with me to Philippians 4. Flip over to Philippians. Praise God. Oh, I'm flipping the wrong way. There it is. Philippians 4. Philippians 4:11. Praise the Lord. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. It's not saying that that God one day wants me poor and the next day that he wants me rich. Let's see, some people think of God like a seesaw like that. Oh, he gave and he took away. That's where that garbage comes from, all that kind of thinking. Listen, that's not what Paul is talking about. Paul knew what his supply was. So what he was saying is, he said, if it looks like there's no supply, I know how to deal with it. And if it looks like there's a lot of supply, I know how to deal with it. I'm not moved by riches. I'm not moved by poverty. Nothing can move me because, listen, the only time those things can move you is if those things are the focus of your heart. But if your focus is on the fact that God is your portion, poverty or riches will never move you either way. You'll be able to handle lots of money because God is your portion. Because you follow God and you'll do right by money. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just because one has money doesn't make them better with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But just because one's poor doesn't mean that they would be better with it. You know, a lot of people in poverty think that their problem is a lack of money. But it's not a lack of money. A lot of people, I'll just say this, poverty in anything. Whatever you go without, you think that's your problem in the current state. Think about it. I want you all to sit there and think. Every single one of us, I've been pouring out my heart about how God corrected me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I want every single one of us, think about that thing that has been the object of your desire, your affection, yeah, the thing that you've been without, and the thing that you think you need to be your answer. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. And that's the place of your hang up. That's the place that God is trying to get you beyond. That thing that you think that you have to get is just being a distraction to you from the truth. God is your fullness. God is should be your fullness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul knew what his fullness was. He knew his portion was in God. He knew his portion wasn't found in the offering. It wasn't found in what people gave him. It wasn't found in any of that stuff. He did what he needed to do. Praise the Lord. And follow God. I have learned whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Now, I love that. I love that word strengthens. That word strengthen means enables. Hallelujah. You know, it's not just that Christ is coming and strengthening them like, you know, like the angels did with Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. It enables us. It's Christ who enables us to be able to do all things. He's our portion. And so what happens is when you are focused on what you don't have, or when you're focused on that thing that isn't present in your life right now, what you're doing is you're focusing off your portion and you're focusing on those things that don't matter. Those things don't matter. Focus on your portion and those things will manifest. And see, this is where people are so far off, because we're like, the devil is always throwing these things out there. All these, you know, it's just like a fisherman. You know, somebody was telling me recently, we were talking to somebody last night, I think, we were talking to somebody about fishing at the pier on the ocean, you know. And they were saying that they know, that all the locals know, that you don't go swimming by the pier. But what do you see? You see all the vacationers swimming by the pier. Well, they said, why don't you swim by the pier? Because the pier is where the sharks hang out. And the reason the sharks hang out there is because they know that that's where abundance of fish are. And a lot of times, because that's where a lot of bait is. You know, people catch fish and then they cut up fish and they throw fish parts back in the water right there. And so it's a good feeding area. They're being baited in. Well, Christians are the same way. See, the devil's throwing out all these pieces of bait all the time. Yeah. Praise God. He says, the truth. He's throwing out all these pieces of bait, and that's what the people are going after. What is the bait? The bait are those things you think you need. Because here's the thing. I love this. I use this example. I wanted a hammock. Yeah. Needed a hammock. It was my life. It was like, if I could just, I don't need anything. I even got into that place where I was real humble, and I said, Lord, even if I had nothing else in life, just to give me that hammock, a place where I could rest my head. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just need that hammock so bad. And for years, I couldn't have it. And even watch other people get that hammock. Amen. And I'd get jealous a little bit. And then I'd try to, come back to God and just like, go, plead my case. Lord, I just need a hammock. See, it doesn't sound like a big idea or a big thing. But when something's in your head, it's a big deal, right? Praise the Lord. So I finally get the hammock, and I put it up. Praise the Lord. I was excited for the hammock. For the last 2 years, I haven't even put my hammock up. Why? Because it's work for me to go out there and do it. I just haven't felt like doing it. Yeah, there's no real good reason for it. But that hammock I needed so bad. That one I spent so much time thinking about. That one that, I just thought over. Now listen, I love my hammock. I'll maybe put it back up someday and lay on it, enjoy it. But my point is this. That thing that was the object of my desire, that thing that was so important to me, I don't even think about now. Why? Because it's there. I have it. It's the same thing with everything. I have a four-wheeler, the same thing. I barely rode it this summer. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I remember years just thinking if I could only have a four-wheeler, man, all the fun I would have. Yeah. I mean, I rode it like yesterday. Praise the Lord. I backed it out of the garage so I get it out of my way so I could get to something else. Yeah. You see, the point is it's not wrong to have stuff. It's not wrong to have those things. But the point is when these things become little things that don't matter, and anything that's not God doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. When they become such a thing that we have to strive after. Praise the Lord. All those things, the hammock, the four-wheel, all those things I didn't have because I was poor. I couldn't afford them. It wasn't even about that. I just couldn't afford them. But there was lots of other things too. Amen. But it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Enables. I can do all things through Christ who enables me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wrote this down. Contentment looks both ways. Amen? It looks at both ways. It looks at both directions. It doesn't get distracted by either. Amen? You know what I mean? Contentment is like, I'm not looking at being rich. I'm not going to be focused on being poor. Because, both things. You can sit there. You can think you're being humble and say, well, I don't need anything. Glory to God. No. Listen, that's just as wrong. You know what I'm saying? I remember I used to say this. I used to be like, I don't even need much. Praise the Lord. See, that's wrong thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Why is that wrong thinking? Because I don't know how much I need. Because I don't have the fullness of God's plan yet. I need to know what God needs me to have, and that's what I need. If I don't get that, then I don't need that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I don't focus on what I have or what I want. Or what I don't want. You know what I mean? So some people say that. It's like, oh, I only want just a little bit and that's it. Well, if that's all you ever want, what if God calls you to do more? You can't do it because your mindset's in the wrong place. Am I making sense to anyone? Hallelujah. So we have to be right about looking at both directions. Now, I thought about this when I was thinking about this. Praise the Lord. I thought about crossing a street. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you tell your kids when they're crossing the street? Look both ways. Amen. When you're pulling out in an intersection, what do you do in a car? You look both ways. It'd be pretty stupid to just look left, wouldn't it? Yeah. Why? Because somebody might come from the right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, this is the thing with God, and we have to understand this. Contentment is also just being, contentment is really being in that place where you are open to God and what He wants to do in your life. We will hinder ourselves so often because we insist that it's got to look this way. Yeah. It's got to be this or got to be that. Well, I live in a depressed area and there's not a whole lot of wealth around here. So there's not a whole lot I can get. Well, who said that? I God corrected me on something today about the way that we look at buildings. Praise the Lord. You realize this building here, we don't need this building. We don't need this building for right now. Yeah. We can grow a church without a building. We've done it before. Praise the Lord. We didn't need it this quick. Not in our minds. Praise the Lord. But see, there's something more that come with this building. Praise the Lord. God's doing. What is he doing? Well, God is establishing something here. I love that word establish. It means to set up rules, to set up something like as permanent. Amen. What this does is it establishes God's work and what he wants to do through this church. It establishes it. It says, listen, we're not fly by night. We are established. Our hearts are in this for the long haul. Why? Because you don't buy a building if you plan on maybe working out, maybe not working out. If you move to an area and you're not sure it's going to work out, what do? You don't buy something. You go rent something. Why? Because you don't want to get caught up in that. See, God was establishing something. Praise the Lord. We need to be established. What does God want to do with it? Well, we have to have our hearts open to that. Praise the Lord. Right now we have, 80 seats in here roughly, give or take a few, 80 seats. Praise God. Is this all we'll ever have? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe God will want to double that. Maybe he'll want to try. Who knows what God is going to do in the future? I mean, we have to follow him and find that out. Praise the Lord. But it's the same thing with our lives. We can't limit our lives and say, well, you know, all I ever wanted was just a nice little house. You can have a nice house and that's fine. But don't say it's all you ever wanted. I want what God wants. That's contentment. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may say, you know what? $10,000 a year is more than enough for me to live. I don't need anything else. I only want Raymond News. That might be fine. But maybe God has more for you. And if he has more for you, it's shameful if you don't get into it. I said it's shameful. Why? Because God doesn't just give you your resources for you. And so you can either be rich and hold them, or you can say, stay poor. I'll just stay poor. I don't need any more. I just need this little plot of land. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is so big that we have to understand this. Because God wants to do, it's not about, I am not saying that you got to sit there and desire to be a millionaire. I never said that. I said what you got to desire is what God wants. See, contentment is knowing it both directions. I only want what God wants me to have. Praise the Lord. And so if God doesn't have, listen, I didn't know that I wanted certain things and God delivered them to me and found out, man, this blesses me more than I could ever imagine. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All glory to God. And he does it in ways, and he's constantly showing me this. Amen. We need to just be people that are going, man, I got to get going. But we got to be people that are just willing to go with God. People that are willing to go with God are people that really learn to be content. They show true contentment. What do you have for me, Lord? Is it this town or that town? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing that God was showing me today is how, whatever God promises, whatever God leads us in, we have to understand we can't disconnect ourselves from the Bible. Whatever God is leading us in is the place that he's leading us to. In other words, it's our promised land. Now, we remember the Israelites, right? When we looked at the Israelites, we've looked at them before. When we looked at the Israelites, whether God was leading them into the promised land. They got up there and they said, yes, this is a land truly flowing with milk and honey. It's exceedingly good. It's great. It's a wonderful place. We ought to want to live there. Praise the Lord. But they said, but nevertheless, it's too big. The people are too big. Yeah. But see, what God was doing is he was trying to establish something and they were refusing because their contentment wasn't right. They were refusing to take what God, because in their mind, they couldn't take it. Yeah. But see, the same thing is with us. What I started realizing through this lesson that God was teaching me is that God was expanding the borders of our inhabitant, our habitation. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. He was giving us a bigger area to inhabit. Praise the Lord. In that area, there is fullness. There are things. Everything that we will have in our life will be in that place where God has us. Everything. Praise the Lord. So if I said, well, I don't want to go to Corey and start a church, what would happen? I would be limiting God and what he wants to do in my life. Praise the Lord. I would be limiting God and what he wants to do in Family Church Mayville's life. I would be limiting God and what he wants to do in your life. Praise God. Why? Because all your lives are connected to it. Why? Because it's what God has us doing. You see, this is why it is so important that we learn to be content. In other words, we look at what God has. We're always looking at what God has, and we're okay with that. Right. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, turn to me. Turn with me to Romans 8:12. Contentment's what we need. Not stuff. Not people. We need godliness. godly contentment. Praise God. Romans 8:12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. This is what living according to the flesh is. When people are constantly looking at their desire, looking at what they want, looking at the things they don't have, whatever you, all these things I've been saying. That's what it is. That's living according to the flesh. But the Bible says that we aren't debtors to the flesh. In other words, we don't owe the flesh anything. And if we don't owe the flesh anything, we shouldn't be wasting time trying to pay it off. Do you hear what I'm saying? If we don't owe it, then we shouldn't be trying to pay it off. Glory to God. You ever get a bill in the mail or an old bill or a paid bill, we'll say, and it says paid in full? You don't look to go back and pay it off, do you? You're not looking to go, you don't call up the company and say, hey, wait a minute, I see this is paid in full, but I think I need to pay it again. No, it's paid. We're not debtors to the flesh. Stop paying the flesh. It owes you. You don't owe it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't have my doctor sending me money. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't send me. Why? Because he doesn't owe me. If I go on and see him, I owe him. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You're like, wait a minute. I live here in the flesh. Don't I live according to the flesh? No, what it's talking about is we don't let our lives be guided by the flesh. When your life is guided by the flesh, you have what the flesh gets you, which is called D-E-A-T-H. I spell it right? Death. Death. Death is what the flesh affords you. Isn't that what got Adam and Eve? And every human since? Right? Praise the Lord. The wages of sin is death. Sin is in the flesh. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. James tells us that sin comes, or death comes, when sin is conceived in the flesh, and then it's acted upon in the flesh, and then once it becomes fully formed, it brings forth death. Yes. Amen. The first chapter, I think it was the first chapter of James, tells us that. So we understand that death is not a good, or the flesh isn't a good thing to be following. Right. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, I hear Christians complain all the time. They do something stupid, then they complain. Why do I got to deal with this? Why? Because you just listen to your flesh. You are a debt to your flesh. Well, praise God. You follow the flesh, you get what the flesh gets you. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Praise the Lord. Now, I looked up that word deeds. It's interesting. It means the modes of acting. Yeah, if you put to death the fleshly modes of acting. In other words, you don't let them control you. You listen. You can't. If you let the flesh control you, it will always take you to a place you don't want to go. Kids, listen to me. Teenagers, if you always go where the flesh takes you, it will always take you somewhere you don't want to go. And later on, you'll be sorry. You'll be sitting there crying, but it's your fault. Don't follow the flesh. I am not saying you can't enjoy. The flesh is meant to enjoy. God gave us the flesh to enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we've been adopted by him. The Spirit himself bears witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Amen. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. What is the suffering of Christ? Putting down the flesh, not living according to the flesh. Sure, Jesus was hungry, but he said no to the devil when the devil tried to make him turn rocks into bread. Yeah. Yeah. Why? He was putting to death the flesh. Yeah. How? Through the Spirit. See, if you're not a spiritual person, if you don't get in the Word, you don't pray, you don't come to church, all those things, you'll never be able to do this. Yeah. Amen? But that's why Christians are foolish. The devil got them out there thinking that they don't have to go to church. And what happens? Their lunch gets eaten. Because praise God, hallelujah. It just happens all the time. I see it all the time. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise God. So God is trying to take us somewhere. Amen. but we can't go there unless we follow him. Many people miss God because they make judgments according to the flesh, never learning how the Spirit leads. We've seen this even just recently. I've been talking to my wife about this. You know, people, something will seemingly, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Something seemingly bad will happen. And you'll look at it and all instantly you'll get into depression. Yes. Something seemingly bad happened. Praise God. There was an example of this in our life recently. I'm not ready to tell exactly what it is. But it was a financial thing. And it looked like it was a bad decision. And it was a bad decision. We were sure that we were led into it. Amen? Yeah. I said we were sure that we were led into it. Yeah. And in the moment, I was getting stressed out. Why? Because I got into my flesh. Sure. I got out of the Spirit. But I knew it was God. Yeah. But see, I thought it had to look a certain way. Now, this thing ended up prolonging something and making it cost more and more money and all this stuff. But the point of what I'm trying to get to is this. In the end, we see that it was God's plan. And what God did was he actually used these mishaps to bless us. But because we were focused my focus was in the wrong area, I went through stress I didn't need to go to because I didn't stay content when it seemed like there was opposition. Right. The opposition wasn't bad. The opposition was good. Listen, nobody who sits in a gym or goes to a gym, not sits in a gym, but nobody who goes to a gym is mad about the opposition. Why? Because they wouldn't go there if they didn't want the opposition. They go there to have the resistance to help them get stronger, right? Well, the same thing is with us. Sometimes there's going to be opposition. Now, that doesn't mean when they're lifting the weights, they'll grunt and they'll groan, and sometimes they'll strain, and it might not feel so great, right? Sometimes growth does that. But listen, we can't get distracted by the pain thinking, oh, life is all falling apart now. No, we have to understand that sometimes in growth, there has to be a little discomfort because it goes against the flesh. But we're not people who are led by the flesh. We are people that are led by the Spirit. And so when we're led by the Spirit, we see all these bad stuff happening. Well, but wait a minute. It works out for our good because the Bible promises me, Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for the good because I love God. All things work together for good. So it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what comes at you if you think right. But see, if you're not content, when something comes at you, the first thing you do is, oh, my faith don't work. I screwed up. So it's all horrible. It's always bad happens to me. That's what people do. But see, here's the thing. What I said was people make judgments according to the flesh, God's people. And so they see something bad. We were talking about this. I've heard God's people complain about something happening in a town. Yeah, new stuff happens in a town where they're building a new building, or they're doing this or they're doing that. People get mad about it. Those are all people that are led by the flesh. Christians jump right in on that stuff. You know what I see when somebody starts doing something in my town? When they start expanding in my town? When growth starts happening in my town? I see the blessing of the Lord on it. That's meant to bless me. Why? Because if God's called me to that place, then everything that happens there is the fruit that happens in my life. Praise God. The best thing that can happen is growth. Why? Because the opposite of growth is death. See, some people are okay with death. We get this in Mayville. People didn't like, you know, they're doing all kinds of things up there. And I was even talking to some government official about it. And all kinds of people don't like about this and that. They're stupid. They're people that are led by the flesh. They don't see that something is happening there that blesses us all. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I use this as an example all the time. We have Chautauqua Institution in our backyard, basically. Chautauqua Institution, everybody complains about. They do. If you live in Mayville, almost everybody complains about the people at Chautauqua Institution. But I'm going to tell you something. Chautauqua Institution has the highest property values in all of the county. And therefore, all of our taxes are the lowest in the county because all their property values drive everything else up. Also, we have a resale rate. It's easy to sell a house in Mayville. In Westfield, we were just told by a realtor in Westfield, houses that a few years ago that were selling between $80,000 and $120,000 are now selling between $100,000 and $140,000 because and you can't even barely find them. They're like on the market for days and gone. Yeah, why? Because there's something happening there. You see, and this is what people rally against because, well, you know, it might create a little more traffic or you might get somebody that you don't necessarily like. Listen, if God's doing stuff, let him do it because that blesses you. Yeah. We have the lowest taxes. We pay almost the same taxes on a house that's 3 times or 4 times the value of our house in Jamestown. Almost the same taxes. Yeah. No, praise God. Hallelujah. See, this is just how good God is. If God's doing something, we need to look at things right. But yet people complain against stuff because it doesn't seem to fit their flesh. Get over your flesh. Your flesh doesn't determine everything, amen? Our prosperity did not come because of our flesh. Our prosperity came from putting our flesh under, from putting it down. Well, praise God, hallelujah. Many people miss God because they make judgments according to the flesh, never learning how the Spirit leads. You don't need to know what's a good idea or a bad idea. You need to know what's a God idea. You don't need what's a good idea or a bad idea. You need a God idea. Praise the Lord. Because you know what? God will have you do things that make no sense naturally. Just about everything he leads us on makes no sense. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I don't need to know that. All I need to know is God's behind it. God will always have us do things. There is one who scatters more and yet increases more, the Bible says. What is that? Foolishness. You don't give out and then get back in. Everybody said, I've got to hold on to. See, if you're a person that feels like you've got to constantly hold on to it, you're not a person that realizes who God is or your covenant with him. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Many people miss God. I want to say this again because they make judgments according to the flesh, never learning how the Spirit leads. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, God leads a very specific way. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be so bold to say this. You need to hear this message again. Don't let this message go. What this message is will change your life. You need it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Oh, right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Starts out, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now I want to stop here. Many of you have heard me say this probably before, but I'm going to say it again for repetition purposes. A lot of people think they use this scripture so often for funerals. This is a very popular funeral verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But the problem with that is this has absolutely nothing to do with heaven, and it has absolutely nothing to do with death. People use it completely out of context, and they have been for years. How do we know that? Well, we're going to keep reading. And once we read, we continue reading, we will understand the context. Look at the very next words it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Amen. But God has, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. In other words, your flesh cannot conceive of what God wants to do. Right. Your flesh cannot conceive of what God has for you. Why? How is that? Because your flesh is carnal. Your flesh is earthly. You know, one of the things I love about flying is when you go up an airplane, you're looking down, you see things, and it looks totally different. You got a whole different perspective, don't you? Yes. When you're looking down there, I mean, there could be strife happening down there. You wouldn't know the difference because you see a bigger picture. You know, there's somebody worried about this over here. They're saying, well, if you looked up, somebody, you just take somebody who's lost, somebody who's wandering around in the woods, and they're freaking out. They don't know where to go. Listen, if you were in a bird's eye view and you were looking down on them and you had a radio to them, you say, hey, just turn left here, turn right here, just keep going a little bit further, and the answer is right around the corner. Yeah. There's people who have died just a few miles from their help or just that have been lost in the wilderness or just a little ways, even yards I've even heard of before from their answer, praise the Lord. It's right there. And what is it? If they just had a different perspective. If they just had a different view. And so whenever I fly, I love that because when I fly, I always think about that. That's how God views us. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He looks at our lives. He knows our lives life is but a vapor. He knows what he wants to do in our life. And he knows he has a short time to do it. Listen, God knows there's a short time to do it. And so if we get hooked up to the plan of God, things will happen fast. I said, things will happen fast. Why? Because he knows that there's a short time. If you follow God, if we were able, Jesus did it perfectly. Jesus did more than any one man in history, and he did it in 3.5 years or 3 years. Praise the Lord. How did he do so much? You know, sometimes when I was out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I went to Oral Roberts University. And I was walking around the campus of Oral Roberts University, and I was quite amazed. And I remember this thought coming to me, how could one man build this in just a short life? I mean, it looked like, I mean, when you look at the stuff that's there, it's so beautiful and everything that's there, and you're like, man, it's just so gorgeous here. It's so amazing here. And it's like, it seemed like it would take years and years and years, lifetimes to do it. And yet one man, inspired by God, look what will happen. And see, it's the same thing with us. If we follow God, like, you may not be able to see the answer to your situation. You know, I remember looking at car loans or something like that, thinking, oh, I got a $300 a month payment or whatever, right? But it's for 5, 6, 7 years. In 5, 6, 7 years, it seemed like an eternity. Yeah. When I was 25, you know. But now that I'm 43, I start looking at things a little bit differently. I'm like, you know what? 5 years went by pretty quickly. And don't we all learn this? But see, here's the thing. See, there's things that we want and we desire, and we get in trouble because we're trying to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. That's where we go wrong. God has not made us to try to figure things out. He's made us to follow Him. And when we follow Him, He'll show us the way. There won't be any figuring it out. You just do it. And this is what I always say. If it's not working, then it's not God. Right. Take a step back and let it go. If it's something's not working out, then you just step back. You ain't got to move. That's what I love about buying things now, is I don't have to move on any. If I feel rushed to do something, I automatically step back. Why? Because God ain't rushing me. And if He does, He'll let me know it. How will He let you know it? It'll be clear. I'll just tell you that much. Amen. Well, praise God. But we see here, again, we're reading about eyes not seen or ear heard or entered in the heart of man, things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Praise the Lord. In other words, God, it just doesn't come to us naturally. Amen. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. See, this is important. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But the Spirit we received is not the Spirit of the world. It's that Spirit. And so if you need to know, like, God is the answer, right? He has all the answers. He knows all the way. And so, because He's looking up on His perch, He's looking down, and He can see it all. He can see the end from the beginning. So He's saying, if you want to do it effectively, just follow Me. I will take you into things that you can't imagine. Just follow Me. I will move things. Like, there's things that have happened in our lives this year that we thought would take decades to come to pass. And God has moved it in months and hasn't changed a thing in our finances even. But He's just moved it to us. Why? Because that's how God does things. That's how He works. He knows the way. I don't know how He does it. I don't need to know. It's not my job to know. It's my job to be in faith and follow. It's just my job to lead and follow Him, amen, as He leads. Now, we have not received a spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, what happens is when people are out searching just for what they want and not seeking God on it, what they're doing is they don't know what belongs to them or not. And so there's an unsurety in all of that. If you don't know what belongs to you, it's always unsure. Praise God. And so if you know something belongs to you, praise God, you just follow Him and you allow Him to bring it to pass. And sometimes this is where counseling comes in and help, because you can ask, you know, maybe you ask your pastor, do you think, you know, is this something, is this scriptural? Do you think God would want me to do this? That's a good question to ask. You know, and sometimes you point right to the Word and say, yeah, this is something He has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it takes all the figuring out of it. It takes all the trial out of it. See, God isn't meant for us to strive back and forth. Well, praise God. So we're going to close here in 2 Corinthians 9:8. I'm going to do it in the Amplified Version. Praise the Lord. It says here, of course, we know these are financial scriptures, but it applies to more than that, I believe. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, Get hold of that. God is able to make all grace. In other words, what is grace? Every favor and earthly blessing. God is able to make every favor and earthly blessing. God is able to make every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. He is able. God is able. So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Yeah, that's good. God is able to bring you into this place, but will you follow him to get there? Will you do what God is telling you to do? Will you let him lead you? Will you let go of the earthly things and go where God is taking you? If you will, you will see all those things will be there. All those things that you're chasing and you spend so much work trying to get after, so much time and torment. Instead, just get on your knees and get before God and enjoy fellowship with him. Lord, I praise you that you take care of me. I love you for taking care of me. Praise the Lord. And see, when you learn to start doing that, you're going to see things in your life that you can't explain. And you can't explain to anyone else other than just saying God is. God is. Amen. God is my God. He's the one who supplies all my needs. He's the one who takes care of me. He's the one who takes care of you. He's the one who leads us and guides us. Why does everything always work out for me? Because I follow God. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to be saying. And so we understand that God, but this is where contentment is found. We have to get to that place where we are content, knowing that God is our portion and that we're okay with that. And so whatever today looks like, as long as I stay in faith, praise the Lord, it'll always work out for me. Amen.